Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, welcome to day 8 at Wimbledon. I'm back. So massive shout out to Anastasia for holding it down for the past 2 days while I've been away. And you, Lucy, too, because you've been basically on the grounds on your own.
Thank you.
So I know you're feeling it right now, the way you're just slumped in that chair.
Yep, I'm exhausted. Sorry, guys. My energy is really low right now. I'm really, really tired.
So, let's not hang around. Let's just get into it. So we had two matches today, two mm-hmm. defeats. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Giovanni Pecci-Pericard. So he lost to the 25th seed, Lorenzo Musetti, in four sets. He did actually take the opening set 6-4, but then ended up going down 3-6, 3-6, 2-6. Lucy, you watched most of the match because you were actually in the stadium.
Yeah.
I kind of caught it. I was watching bits at home and then I was listening on my way in.
Mm-hmm.
I've just got like a few notes here. So it looked like the Frenchman struggled on serve.
Yeah, his serves were not as great as usual. But to be honest, for me, it wasn't just necessarily the serves. It was more like just like the errors and stuff. He just looked, I don't know, like after that first set, it just completely like changed.
Fell away, yeah.
So he was doing like, he had a lot more errors on his serve. He had like, he was moving a lot towards the net, but it wasn't working out well for him. And while all of that was happening, Musetti was just slowly, slowly building up. And Musetti's a very good player on grass as well. Mm. So I knew this would be a challenge for him. Personally, I actually thought Giovanni was actually going to beat him. But, you know, you could tell that Lorenzo had like a better plan. And yeah, like, I feel like whenever Pericard was under pressure, he didn't really know, like, what to do. It just wasn't going his way today.
Yeah.
But to be fair, Musetti's camp, they really did do their research on Giovanni and double-checked everything, because I had a look at his conference regarding, like, Giovanni, and what someone actually did ask him, like, what's it like facing his big serve? And even... compared it to like a football metaphor, and was like, you know, is it like being a goalkeeper in a penalty shootout?
This is Lorenzo.
This is for Lorenzo's press, and this is what Lorenzo said. It was actually a pretty good answer.
Yeah, I think it could be a great example. I have to say that some serves are probably unreturnable, so you have to accept that. And that's what I was doing the most. But then when you have the chance, you have to take it. Because my coach told me before the game, with him, to break him, you have to be low 40, not 30-40, because he's going to probably do an ace or a first serve winner. So he was right, because when I had the chance in the break points that I had during the match, and the games where I broke him, I was always like 2 points in advance.
So yeah, so that was really interesting to hear from Lorenzo in his camp, you know, again making sure that you have to break him, and you know, making sure that you're always like ahead and stuff, and you can tell that it worked out well. They've clearly seen what he's capable of doing. And it's very interesting, because I feel like everyone that Giovanni played really struggled to break him, really struggled to go past through him. So it was interesting seeing how like a player could actually do it, because even as a fan, it's like, okay, how do you do that?
I think coming into the match, that's a good point, because coming into the match, I think he'd only been broken like 3 times.
Yeah. So yeah, he was looking clear, hence why I knew it was going to be a battle, but I was still convinced that, okay, maybe Giovanni could actually do this.
Do you think it kind of threw him off a bit? Because, like, yeah, he only hit 10 aces, and, like, yeah, he's been hitting, what, 20-plus matches previous?
I think...
And eight double faults.
It's a good question.
It's not too bad.
It's not too bad. It's not too, especially the way that he serves. Yeah. Someone like him should be hitting way more errors and double faults than that. But I think, you know, we just need to keep in mind that this is literally like his first time doing this properly. Like, and again, against someone who's seeded, against someone who's really good on grass, against someone who literally... beat him a couple weeks ago on the same surface. So
two tiebreak sets back in Stuttgart, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So at least this time he even secured a set. So he's getting there.
True.
I think it's just about, like, you know, time and getting used to it. He just needs a little bit more time to know how to do it and stuff. But
I think Massetti played well too, because yeah,
he did. No, he did.
Petr Perikard only had one look at what a break point, and he did take that break. But mm-hmm. apart from that, yeah, Massetti was holding serve clearly, like,
yeah,
quite comfortably throughout the match.
Mm-hmm.
It was also shouts out to Petr Perikard. It's actually his birthday today, so he's 21 now. So
crazy.
Happy birthday to the young Frenchman. Like you said, it's exciting to see him, like, kind of do this well on debut,
mm-hmm.
coming in as a lucky loser.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more than kind of made the most of the opportunity. And yeah, just great to see. Obviously, he's disappointed with the result today. But like you said, Massetti is a seed. He's the 25th seed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think after this win now, he's going to be a top 20 player, you know, reaching the last eight at Grand Slam. So,
yeah.
And I think he's been as high as like 15 in the world. So mm-hmm. he's not a scrub, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought Perikard played pretty well.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see him kind of going to the next slam.
Mm-hmm.
I did ask him, now he's in the top 50, so he won't have to play qualifying for the US Open, thankfully. And I did ask him about that, and like, here's what he said.
So it's going to be my first Grand Slam in the draw with my ranking, so I'm very happy about it, excited. It's going to be a new opportunity for me. It's going to be a new chance to play a Grand Slam. I like the US Open, I know what I can do. So we will see. I think I'm going to be ready.
So yeah, clearly like excited and proud, and rightly so, like the fact that he gets into a Grand Slam for the first time off the back of his ranking, which is, I think that is a really big achievement.
For sure.
And this is the first year he's broken into the top 100 as well. So I think everyone kind of feels like he's going to be around for a long time in terms of sticking inside that top 100.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to see him on the hard courts, because, yeah, that serve, but it's not just a serve. Like, he has other weapons as well.
Yeah. So like he moved, I feel like each time he just improves and stuff. Like, I feel like today he did really well and towards like moving towards the net at the beginning of the match.
Yeah.
Towards the end, then the level was dropping. I think he just didn't know anymore how to capitalize from it. But yeah, I feel like he's really good at the net, which is really interesting, especially how tall he is, how big he is. Like, the fact that he's still able to move around so easily, especially on a surface like grass,
yeah,
it's just amazing. So yeah, I am looking forward. I mean, we know what he's capable of doing on clay. He's got titles there, you know, ATP and Challenger. So yeah, it'll be nice to see on hard court, just to have an idea of like which surface is really going to be his, or like, is he going to be one of them players that's good at all three surfaces equally or whatnot.
I think he's going to be one of those like all court player game, all court players. And I feel like that's kind of the modern way now. Like, I think most players have game for like every surface. You just have mm-hmm. to kind of have that, or you have to basically be that way if you want to like basically be at the top. So yeah, I think Perikard is definitely got all the tools to have like, you know, cause a lot of problems in all three surfaces.
For sure.
Should we move on to Arthur?
Arthur Fils, for sure, yes.
He made a slow start against Alex Diminor,
mm-hmm.
who's the 12th seed. I've not got it down here in the notes. I'm pretty sure he's the 12th seed, Diminor. Let me just make sure that's correct. He's the 9th seed, my bad. So that's a top 10 player. But yeah, Fies ended up going down in, again in four sets. So that was a 2-6, 4-6, 6-4, 3-6 defeat for Arthur Fies. And that was on number one court. I want to say his first time on number one court as well, for Fies. What did you make of like that match, Lucy? Because again, you watched that from live from number one.
I'm going to say I was really worried at the beginning of the match. The errors were like, there was a lot of errors. Mm. Like I don't even want to say the amount of errors Arthur like hit this.
Do you think it was down to nerves?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think it was down to nerve. I think it was just, I personally don't think he was nervous. I think he just, well, one, he's still not that familiar with grass. This is the most he's played on grass. Mm. And two, I just think he just did not really play as good as he did as the other matches. But I don't think it was nerves. Like he looked pretty confident. I feel like he stepped into the court thinking, yeah, like I've got this. I can actually do this. I don't think he was nervous at all. But yeah, the errors were like they were pretty high. Especially with like his serves, like it was just, yeah, I don't know. It just wasn't looking too good. Wow, Alex, he was playing, especially the second set. It was insane the way he was playing. But I do have to give credit to Arthur on that third set. He was literally down 1-4. And he built it all the way back up and secured that set. And man, it was really, really good. The rallies between Alex and Arthur were amazing. And Arthur was literally hitting the speed of his forehand that set.
The big hitter, yeah.
I kid you not, I could not see the ball. Like there was times where I was like, where is this ball going? Like I could not see it. He was so aggressive with it. And I feel like if he was able to do that consistently from the first set, he probably could have either gone into a five setter, or he could have, you know, I'm not too sure about beating Alex, because I'm not gonna lie, Alex was on great form. He has won a grass title
coming in.
So yeah, so I knew this was gonna be a tough battle for Arthur anyways. I wasn't too sure if he was able to beat him. I'm gonna be so honest with you, especially that Arthur's last match, you know, it was also a battle. So now it's like, okay, you're playing against someone who just won a title. Top 10 as well. Like I knew this one was going to be a tough one. But either way, he played, I appreciate the fact that he tried. I appreciate the fact that he really like pushed himself. And, you know, the energy in the court number one was just the crowd was so loud. Like, the crowd was way louder for Arthur than for Alex. Like it was insane. Like they were really rooting for him. But I think it was mainly because when they saw the match and the level that they could get from that third set, I think everyone was like, I want more of that. Yeah. Like I need more of that. And to a point where I actually did ask him, like I was like, I think that was like the first question I asked him, like, how was it having to play in such like environment, like in such a big court? It's probably one of the biggest courts you ever played at as well. You know, number one court was super loud. Like, how was that feeling? And this is what he had to say.
Super nice. I mean, we are practicing, I think, during all the season for this kind of event and this kind of court. So I was really happy to play on a big court like this. I didn't win, but it was a great experience.
But yeah, it was a quick answer, not too long. Like he said, it was a great experience. And I found it interesting. I love how he said, like, you know, these are the kind of event that they practice for, that they try to reach for and stuff. Yeah, so
like those moments on the big courts.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, I wish I asked him to double check, but I do believe that's the biggest court that he's played.
I'm gonna say it is. Yeah.
I think it is. Yeah, definitely.
Because if just going by how far he's gone at
that's
slams.
That's true. At slams. Like, yeah. 100%. So and the fact that he did that on grass.
It's big.
That's really big, like especially that, you know, he wasn't. I don't think a lot of French players are big on grass in terms of like enjoying it, not in terms of like the thing. Because even when I was hearing French journalists, like they were saying how like low key, like you know, the French, like when it comes to grass season, as in the fans, not the players, you know, they don't really tune in as much as the other surfaces.
Interesting.
So I wonder if that actually affects them as well. But yeah, either way, like he played really well this tournament. Definitely exceeded our expectation. The fact that he went all the way to his second week. Mm. You know, a journalist did ask him during his press conference, like, are you happy? Like, are you, like, how do you feel, like, and stuff? Like, basically hoping that he left really happy. But Arthur was just like, I'm happy, but not like, you know, wow and everything. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, I did not win the tournament, but I am happy with what I've achieved. So far,
he should be, man.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, he wasn't down or anything. Good. Like he seemed focused, ready to go into like the next step. Like, you know, going into the next surface. Obviously, Olympics are coming up soon, so he is going to be at Bad Homburg literally exactly in a week.
Hamburg, not Bad Homburg. Bad Homburg's women. Hamburg's men.
Oh, really? Oh, shoot! They even wrote Bad Homburg on the transcript here. My bad. Guys, I'm tired. It's like, Hamburg, there's nothing I can say here. Sorry.
But yeah, that's where he beat Casper Ruud there.
Yes, week. And that's where he had his breakthrough, right?
Kinda-ish.
Like, well, yeah. for the people who didn't know,
beating Ruud is big.
Well, yeah, it was big for him. Yeah,
because I was listening to the match coming in. Obviously, Lucy got here before me. Yes, because she's not staying with me this week. She's back home. Lost. And yes, she beat me to the grounds today. But yeah, as I was listening, I was just kind of hearing, I think it was Todd Woodbridge, the co-commentator. He said that he'd spoken to Fiese's coach earlier this morning, Sebastian Grosjean, just to kind of like see where like Fiese is at and like kind of just get an idea of like, yeah, where, you know, where his head's at the moment. Because he's had I say it's been a slow-ish season. Obviously, this is only his like second year on the tour, as in the ATP tour. So it's early days. But yeah, apparently Grosjean said that basically after breaking through last year, you know, cracking the top 50, like he struggled with like the expectations basically back home, which is something we've spoken about on the podcast. I think we spoke about it during the French Open preview. The French Open review.
This is a major announcement.
Wow. But yeah, it was just interesting hearing Grosjean like confirm, like, yeah, you know, the expectations thing is something that kind of like weighs on players. Mm. And I think it's something we all need to be more mindful of as well, like going forward. Like these guys are young guys, like just let them develop.
Mm-hmm.
And like don't put too, and I say I'm kind of guilty of it, Lucy, myself. Like,
I think we all are, to be honest. And I think it's quite, in a way, it's, I don't want to say it's normal as if it's a good thing. I want to say more, it's just like a human thing.
True.
And it's not just even in tennis. Like, look how people are getting angry during this Euros that everyone's complaining about.
The football, the soccer. Yeah, no, true.
Look how, like, you know, it is what it is. Like, when you enjoy the sport and you enjoy the player or players, it gets like that. I think it's just about the balance.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, again, like you said, second year, he literally just turned 20. Like he turned 20 like last month. So this is still at the beginning of his career, and you know, he's got this, man. I feel like Definitely. He's gonna go like far. You know, he's already ready. He said that he's gonna be resting for like 2-3 days.
Good.
And then ready to train, get ready for the clay seasons, going to Hamburg next week. You know, I did ask him, like, you know, how does he feel ready for that?
And to be fair, it's not exactly a clay season, is it? Because it's just, well, the Olympics.
Because of the Olympics.
And then back to hard.
Yeah, so, yeah, he actually said that the change doesn't really disturb him.
Yeah.
And that he feels great. And he's like, yeah, when I'm coming from grass to clay, like his game works well, his legs feels okay. And so he's not like one of them players that's like, nah, like it's going to be tough, blah, blah, blah. Which there's nothing wrong with that. Everyone's different. For him, it works well. And it shows to you how comfortable he is on clay and stuff. He didn't go too much into details regarding the Olympics and stuff because he was like, yeah, I've been mad focused on just Wimbledon. Like, I've not been focusing on anything else. So he couldn't really answer for that. But he knows that he's getting ready for that. But yeah, shout out to Arturo. Shout out to Giovanni. Like, you know, this is great to see these young Frenchmen, young black Frenchmen making it far like that.
At Wimbledon.
Wimbledon, at all places as well.
Yeah.
Huge. For real. I think his mum was here. I was going to ask him about that.
Yeah,
but
yeah, both his parents, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the first time, because I always see
his dad.
His dad. Yeah. This is the first time I've seen like his mum in his box, which is nice because he always mentions her. Like, anytime he does interviews, the last media conference, he took like a picture as soon as he walked in, and we were like, "Are you taking pictures of us?" And he was like, "Sorry, I'm sending it to my mom." Everything, like, he always mentions her. So yeah, it was nice like seeing her then supporting, and yeah, her camp were doing like, they were doing really good. And I liked the interaction that he was having with his camp actually, which he didn't even mention as well during his press again, where, you know, he was talking to them, he felt like that kind of helped them and to understand the match, because at one point he even asked his camp, like, am I the one who's playing crap or is he just playing really good? And then his camp was like, no, his level just went really high. So even everyone knows Alex's game was just different. So shout out to him. Although it looks like he actually might be injured.
Dimino.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think he literally injured. It looked like he injured himself right when he served, right when he hit the last point, his match point.
Damn.
Yeah, literally. I don't know what's going on with this Wimbledon where everyone's getting injured left, right, center. But yeah, it will be a shame if he went through all of that and for him to, you know. So I'm hoping it's not something severe, especially after such a level. During that match. So yeah, shout out to Fee, shout out to Shelton, shout out to Alex. We're looking forward to Fee's next week and he's back into the clay. And yeah.
No, nice summary, Lucy. Should we talk about some wins? So we've had some wins in the doubles.
Mm-hmm.
So Coco Gauff and Jessica Pegula, they beat Jasmine Paolini and Sara Errani, the fifth seeds in straight sets. So they're through to the quarterfinals and the women's doubles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who they face. So I've got here Shea Siwei.
Yep.
So it's the top seeds. Them, so yeah. Shea Siwei and Elise Mertens in the quarterfinals, which would be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also got Taylor Townsend, the fourth seed, with Katerina Siniakova. They're also through to the last eight.
Mm-hmm.
And they play the ninth seeds, Yelena Ostapenko and Ludmila Kichanok.
Sorry, Taylor also won her match with
great shout.
Jamie Murray.
Great now. Shout, yeah. I say I forget his name, it's just rude, but yeah, Jamie Murray.
I'm dead.
The other Murray.
The brother. Other Murray.
They make a good team, actually, because they made a run.
Yeah, they made a run. Last year. They made a run.
And clearly they enjoy playing with each other. So, nice to see them get another win today.
For sure.
So that means Taylor, she played two matches in a day. Two doubles matches in a day and got two wins.
She's grinding.
Go on, Taylor. Not so lucky on the men's side now. So you've got the alternates, Christopher Eubanks and Evan King. They lost, as did Dustin Brown and Sebastian Byers. And also the 16th seed. So these are French players. We've not actually spoken or featured Sadio Dumbia. But yeah, he was in the draw with Fabien Reboul.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're a French pair. They lost today, unfortunately, though, in the third round. So no more interest in the doubles, or the men's doubles anyway, for us.
And the singles. That's it. We're done with
and,
the men.
And the men's singles too. Damn. Yeah. Crazy. We do have interest in the juniors,
woman
though.
Woman run the world.
We do have interest in the juniors, but I don't want to put any pressure.
I'm dead.
So we've got Matthew Forbes. So he's through to the second round in the boys' singles.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be keeping an eye on him. I believe Abigail Forbes' brother. Abigail, she's a doubles junior Wimbledon champion.
Okay.
So tennis clearly runs in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Looking ahead to day nine though, Lucy.
Actually, no, before you do that, Tyra Grant won her match today. I actually watched her a little bit.
Go on.
She looked good. She beat Lily Tagar, 6-4, 7-6.
So she's through to the second round.
So she's through for the second round, yeah. She looked good. Like she was. I watched like a little bit. I was waiting to get into Giovanni because it was near the court where Giovanni was playing. Oh, okay. So I just stopped quickly, watched her.
Yeah, because
so.
she's one of the seeds. So she's
like fourth seed.
Yeah, she's expected to go quite far.
Yeah.
Obviously, so. you guys mentioned the British girl or the British Nigerian.
Yes.
Hepzibah Oluwadare.
Yeah.
So she's also through to the second round.
She is, yep.
So yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on the juniors as well. But like as kind of things get to the more business stage or business end with the juniors. But yeah, looking ahead to day nine though, Lucy, the big one for our girl Jasmine.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh seed taking on Emma Navarro, the 19th seed on centre court. So this will be Jasmine Kailini's first match.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, did she play Kvitova on centre? Was that number one last year?
Yeah, she did last year.
That was on centre, not number
that
one?
That was on centre.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not her first. So she's used to that, and I think it was even indoors as well.
So yeah, similar conditions,
so
basically.
Similar conditions. So she's already played quite a few indoors the last couple of days.
Yeah.
She says she's not a fan of it. I feel like a lot of the players this year actually has complained about the condition indoors.
Because it's
stuff.
Quite humid.
Yeah, even the way the ball bounces
makes the surface a bit more slicker as well. That's
yeah.
why you get a lot of players slipping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
How do you see that one going? I think it's New Year. I think that's going to be a free setter.
It's going to be a free setter.
Navarro, she played lights out against Coco. I think you lot covered that pretty well.
Listen, Navarro, yeah.
Stop it.
If you take out Paolini, I need to know, what day was it? January 5th or 6th? I need to know where she was that day. I need to know where she was.
Stop it.
Where she was located.
Stop it.
Because what is going on? Stop but no, it. No. All jokes aside, she's playing really well. Can't even lie.
Even Paolini too was like complimentary of her game.
Yeah.
Saying that she likes the way she plays and like she respects her talent.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. So
and
yeah.
She's been grinding. Like that's why she's now top 20 seed and doing so well. Mm. So
but I think with what Paolini went through with Keys, which was her toughest opponent, I think it will prepare her for Emma. Whereas Emma Navarro, from what I'm seeing here, like everything here has been like breezed through because, you know, for example, Coco, the level that she played yesterday wasn't the same level that she played the match before that. Do you get what I mean?
No, I hear that.
So like, you know, her first round she had Wang and, you know, then she had Osaka. Osaka's not, first of all, Osaka and grass, meh. You know, and also she's still...
Right now, of course.
Right now, but, you know, she's still building up. Like, she just got back. Like, she's still trying to get herself back on her feet. So, you know, that's quite easy on Navarro. It would have been different if it was hardcore. Mm. You never know. And then when she played against Schneider, you know, that went into three... She won, but it went to three sets. And you know how Schneider is. Very aggressive, very powerful.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So she got her own back. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I feel like I feel like Navarro has not been tested yet. Whereas Paolini has been tested by a few opponents before reaching here. Hence why I think she will be more prepared mentally and physically to be getting there. So, you know, she had Keys, you know, she had Andreescu right now is playing like really well. Do you get what I mean? So, that Keys match has given her a lot. I feel like given her a lot of confidence.
But then you could also argue for Navarro, the win against Coco has given her like.
But Coco was not. But like I said earlier, Coco's level yesterday compared to the match that she played before that was not the same. I feel like if she had like 100% Coco, it would have been different. If she won it, probably won it to three sets. So that's what I'm saying. The players that Navarro has played against, except Schneider, she didn't get the 100%. She didn't get the 100% of Osaka. She didn't get the 100% of Wang. She didn't get the 100% of Coco. Schneider was probably the only one, and she still won that in three sets.
Mm.
Whereas Paolini is, I feel like she's more prepared because of the battles that she's been through. She knows the conditions. She knows how to play like against, like, you know, these you know, people. I mean, Navarro, at the end of the day, like, she's been playing, she played a couple few like grass tournaments, so she is coming in, you know,
much tight.
But at the end of the day, I won't be surprised. This one, I'm kind of stuck with who's going to win. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I say three sets. I'm good. I'm putting towards Paolini. Just on key, she did post on Twitter because she didn't do press yesterday, and she said the following. So, well, the ending of yesterday's match was probably one of the toughest moments ever on court. Unfortunately, during the match, I injured my hamstring. I'll be getting an MRI soon to see exactly what happened and what the severity of the injury is. I have a lot of mixed emotions that my Wimbledon ended like this, and really appreciate all the nice messages I've gotten. Time to go home and get better. Oh, so yeah, Keys, like, it was a tough one yesterday, and obviously you guys covered it as well, like, mm-hmm. really well on the pod. But yeah, like, again, she does well at Wimbledon, so that was tough to see her go out the way she did.
Yeah.
And the level of both players during that match was so high. Mm-hmm. So. And she had moments. She served for it, I think, twice.
She wasn't hurt. She would have won the match because she was literally, unless Paolini was going to do a madness, but she was literally serving for the match.
Tough way to go out.
Very tough. Like, it was very emotional. Like, I really felt for her. I'm just hoping that when she does that MRI scan, it comes back clear serious. Because,
indeed.
Yeah, she's been dealing with too many injuries, and at least, you know, yeah, just to calm her mind a little bit.
Yeah. And she has, like, a good record in the States. Obviously, she should be back home as well. She's also not playing the Olympics, so yeah, fingers crossed she can be, you know, fit and ready to go for like the US summer hard court swing.
And Lucy,
I want to say that's actually it.
Yeah,
so
it's getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
Now our attention turns to one woman.
To literally one woman.
and then there was one. That's crazy.
And then there was one. And speaking of that, shout out to the Italians. We have Paolini, Sinner.
They're killing it.
And Lorenzo Musetti. Like, I think apparently this is the first time that ever happened. Like, it's really nice. I think for me, why I like is just seeing the excitement from fans, from journalists. The Italian journalists are loving this. Like, I'm surrounded. Shout out to the Italian journalists, man. They're a vibe. Like, I'm surrounded by them. They're just there, like, just yapping away. Like, they're so chilled, comfortable. Like, they're not taking it, like, so seriously, like, crazy. They're very passionate. I feel like when I'm around them, I feel like I'm around fans.
You're gonna migrate to Italy, Lucy, like, flip it out.
It's just a nice feeling, because, you know, when you're media, you're around the media, everyone is like calm and stuff. So when I was watching the Giovanni Pesci match, the road I was on was just a bunch of Italians. Like, it was just them just speaking Italian. I was like, yep. But it was just nice. Like, it was just nice to have that little break from the formal normal thing. So yeah, good luck to them Italians, and good luck to Paolini. Indeed. Tomorrow, hopefully we can make it through her first ever semi-final. That's so crazy.
At Wimbledon, but not first Grand Slam, obviously.
What I say, like, at Wimbledon.
Huge.
But yeah, looking forward to that.
So yeah, guys, until tomorrow, thank you for listening, and yeah, we'll catch you again tomorrow.
Peace.